Grace and peace be to you in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. I'd like to share with you this morning some thoughts from the Gospel reading from Mark. And the theme I've chosen, it's obviously concerning the baptism of Jesus, but the theme I've chosen is different views of Jesus' baptism. The Gospel reading this morning consists of 8 short verses from the Gospel according to Mark, as I said, concerning the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River by John the Baptizer. And the first 5 verses focus on the unique characteristics of John, whereas the remaining 3 verses focus on the actual baptism. And it is on these 3 verses that I would like to turn our attention to this morning. The Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke all record the actual event of Jesus' baptism, whereas the Gospel of John only gives a testimony of Jesus' baptism from the witness of John the Baptist. Now, it's going to be a warm afternoon this afternoon, and I know you've got nothing much better to do than sit in front of the air conditioner. Spend a few moments and have a look at the verses concerning Jesus' baptism in Mark, in Matthew, and in Luke, and look how each one is almost identical, but each presentation gives us a little bit more information that the others don't. And then, of course, in the Gospel of John, we basically have John the Baptist saying, "I was there, I saw it." There you are, that's filled in your afternoon for you. Now, I'm pretty sure you would know, and in particular, a certain David, not this one, who had to go and fish a car out of his paddock this morning because a bloke drove through and took out 100 metres or more of his fencing. I'm sure you would know whenever an accident happens that the police like to get reports from all different people concerning that accident so that they can get an accurate account of what took place. I think the only ones that saw what took place this morning were the cows in the paddock. It's interesting because if I was to witness a car accident, I would probably notice that it was an XR8 Falcon, a black one, and it had mag wheels and a spoiler. Whereas my wife would have noticed that the man driving was driving with his wife, had 2 children in the back of the car. She also would have noticed that he was talking on his phone at the same time too. So we see different things concerning the same event. All true, all correct. With that in mind, I would like to reflect on the baptism of Jesus as seen through different eyes. Firstly, baptism through the eyes of John the Baptist. Undoubtedly, the one thing that really stands out about John the Baptist is that he is most certainly different. His appearance was different, his diet was different, his message was different, and the way in which he delivered that message was also different. He was not your ordinary run-of-the-mill pastor. And I know, as nice a bunch of people that you are here gathered this morning to worship the Lord, the chances of John the Baptist turning up here to take the service of the morning would be pretty slim. Rather, he'd be down, find a nice little spot down on the Onkaparinga, which I hope there's some water in, and he would be preaching to the bush hikers and the tourists that happen to go by. But his message would still be the same. Repent and be baptised, for the kingdom of God is near. You see, despite his differences, his rough appearance, John was, in essence, a humble man called to prepare the way for the one who was coming. John's eyes of faith knew that he was not worthy even to untie the shoestrings of the one who was coming. And John knew that his baptism, John's baptism of repentance and water, would never compare with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the divine word that would be revealed at Jesus' baptism. On this day, as Jesus came to John, John's mission of preparation would actually reach its peak. His ministry of preparing the way was at its climax. From then on, John's ministry would decline as Jesus fulfilled his ministry. People of all walks of life had been drawn to John's message. The rich, the poor, the powerful, the dispossessed, people of position and the common folk, all seeking something. In the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew records that John's eyes of faith caused him to hesitate and to ask the question, "Is it right and proper that I should baptize you?" In the Gospel of John, John the Baptist testifies to his disciples who are standing by at the River Jordan on that day. And seeing Jesus approach the river, John says, "Look, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But Mark, our Gospel reading, he simply says, As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. A voice came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." That's a beautiful verse. In the baptism of Jesus, John's eyes could not only see who he, John the Baptist, was, but also who Jesus was and is. Perhaps whenever we view our own baptism through the eyes of John the Baptist, we also should remember God's grace with that same humility and that same reverence as did John the Baptist. Secondly, baptism through the eyes of Jesus. Our Lord came to John the Baptist with completely different reasons for those which others had come to see John. Some came out of pure and simple curiosity. Some with a sense of guilt. Some with anxiety, a loss of purpose. And I imagine countless other reasons. But Jesus came to be baptized, not out of curiosity, certainly not out of guilt, and certainly not anxious or without loss of purpose. As the Gospel of Matthew records, Jesus came to be baptized to, quote, "to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus came to bring into being that which God had ordained to be righteous and divine in the water and in the word of baptism. And in doing so, Jesus established ownership and participation so that all future baptisms would be part of his baptism. Through the eyes of Jesus, we are able to see in our own baptism both the willingness of Jesus and the hesitation and obedient response of John as we participate in that same sacrament that God now extends to us through Christ, wherein God declares to you and to me the same loving response, "You are my beloved child." Mark tells us, and I quote, "As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart." Now, I wonder what conjures up in your mind when you read that. We could spend a bit of time sharing that. What did John mean then? But John gives us no inclination other than that it was quite an event. The other Gospel readings say that heaven was opened up. And we have this nice picture of the clouds parting and a sunbeam shining on Jesus. But that's not what Mark says. Mark says the heavens were torn apart. I was in the roof of our house a few days ago. I backed into a nail and I tore my shorts. There was no question what happened, and the result was evident. We don't need to know the details of what that means. What is important is what follows from that declaration. He says, for example, I lost my spot here. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart. That is to say, the heavens put on a display that could not be equaled or understood by our human minds. I wonder how many here sat up till 12 o'clock and watched the new year come in this year? A few? There's got to be a few silly ones like me that do those sort of things. And we saw the fireworks, and they were beautiful and awe-inspiring, with 20 minutes of oohs and ahs. But if I asked you to describe them to me now, probably the best you could say is, oh, it was amazing. It was beautiful. Okay? All over in 20 minutes. Nothing left but smoke and a bill for about $1.5 million. But listen to what Mark says after telling you that the heavens were torn apart. This is the important part. In the heavens being opened up, the eyes of heaven endorse this sacred event and affirms and encourages Jesus by revealing to those witnessing this baptism of the bestowing of the Holy Spirit for the mission of salvation that awaits Jesus. Mark goes on to say, this is the words we need to hear. Following, he saw the heavens torn apart, Mark goes on to say, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Those words need no explanation. They are clear, and to the point. And the Spirit descending like a dove on him needs no explanation. A voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. You know, whenever I hear those words from God, with you I am well pleased, I am reminded that, and it was a little bit to do within our gospel, our Old Testament reading this morning, I am reminded that so long, long, long ago, the Holy Bible tells us on the sixth day that after God had created the earth and all in this world, I quote, God saw that all he had made and it was very good. And that very good doesn't mean okay, it means perfect. Everything was perfect. And you know, it will take from the fall of humanity into sin to the baptism of Jesus before God once again declares to all of creation that in Jesus' baptism, everything is perfect. Nothing needed to be added, nothing needed to be taken away. Through the eyes of heaven, God is able to declare that he is well pleased with his Son. For in his Son, God knows that Jesus will fulfill his Father's will and purpose, and securing the self, and in doing so, securing the salvation of all creation, not only through his baptism, but through his life, through his sacrificial death, and through his triumphant resurrection. And finally, baptism through our eyes. The baptism of Jesus for all Christians is an extremely important act of God's grace for everyone. And just as Jesus' baptism was not an option for him to do or not to do, so too it's not an option for you and for me. Now, before everybody hits the panic button, let me explain what I mean by that statement. In other words, I said Jesus' baptism was not an option for Jesus to do or not to do, and it's not an option for you or for me. I'm not remotely suggesting that you are not saved unless you are baptized. Salvation is and always has been in the hands of God. This is God's word. This is God's word. Through the blessing of baptism that God offers through Jesus, that is the forgiveness of sins, heirs to the kingdom of heaven as a child of God, and the presence and the gift of the Holy Spirit, that which was revealed at Jesus' baptism was revealed at your baptism and will be revealed at all baptisms without exception. Baptism is God's business. You know, Martin Luther had a passionate love for baptism, encouraging each of us each and every day to repent and drown our sins in the waters of our baptism and to rise out of those baptismal waters as forgiven and renewed people in Christ. Not only just now and then, but in fact, every day. And I think our Lutheran Church has lost that sense of blessing that Martin explains to us. We've lost that a bit. If I was to ask any of you who have got a baptismal certificate, where is it? Could you find it? Occasionally I've gone into a house and it's hanging up on the wall. What a great idea. I was thinking of making 11th commandment this morning and saying that you shall hang your baptismal certificate on the wall to remind you of this gracious gift that Jesus gave to us, that God continues to give to us. Of all the privileges that a pastor encounters in ministry, for myself, I find baptism as the greatest privilege. When it comes to baptisms, I can tell you, I have the best seat in the house. Especially when you baptise a little baby. I'm talking about a 3-week-old baby. Not a 3-year, not a 30-year, but a 3-week-old baby. It is a joy. It said the eyes of a person are the windows to their soul. And you hold a newborn baby in your arms at baptism, and you look to that child. It's an open book. There are no questions to be asked. There are no questions to answer. There is no uncertainty. There is no anxiety, although I've had a couple cry. Just an empty vessel ready to receive the grace of God. And that's pretty special. Special indeed. Like many pastors, I've been privileged to baptise babies, children, youth, adults, senior people. Some of them I have not seen to this day. But I am greatly comforted that each and every one of those baptisms received God's gift of the Holy Spirit. And they are a child of God. Now, maybe they've forgotten God. Maybe they were never given the chance to know God. But God has not forgotten them. That is my consolation. God has not forgotten them. He has not forgotten you. He works within you right here and now with the Spirit, drawing you near, reminding you how special you are. We know our Lord Jesus did not need to be baptized. He didn't need to receive the Holy Spirit. For he and the Holy Spirit have always been one. But he received it so that you and I might realize what was actually taking place there and then when Jesus was baptized. And I kid you not, that still happens whenever a baptism takes place. God's baptismal grace doesn't have a use-by date. It is eternal. You are a child of God. Rejoice in that. As we recall and we rejoice in the baptism of our Lord Jesus, remember that although Jesus did not need to be baptized, for him there was no option. And so he was baptized for you and for me. Such is the love of God for you in Christ Jesus. peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.